Understand this is going to be on there, and Brother Larry said he'll be listening later. Oh boy. Thank you all for being here. We prayed for a long time for a piano player. I'm guessing 5-6 years we've been praying, or longer we've been praying for a piano player. 9 or 10, it's been a long time. Brother Larry's been doing it, playing the piano Sunday morning and then getting up and preaching. And we prayed for a long time. God blessed us with a piano player. He blessed us with 2 guitar players, all at about the same time. I think Jacob started playing some within the last year or so. And Brother Robert and Miss Mary Jane came here at the same time. God blessed us greatly, folks. And I'm enjoying hearing that piano and guitar playing, and I love it. Amen. All right. Let's pray right quick. Dear Heavenly Father, Brother Robert's right. We need to be fed. And I cannot feed these people. I cannot stand here and do what I'm about to do. I've got to have help. I've got to have you. And ask you to bless. Lord, these people are going to think I'm crazy what I'm about to do. But I hope they'll give me patience, and we're going to go somewhere with what we have to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn to Jeremiah chapter 4, I'm going to read a couple of verses here. The sermon's entitled Break Up Your Fallow Ground. There's only two places in the scripture where you find the phrase break up your fallow ground, where we read a while ago, and then right here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 1, we're going to read the four verses. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. Remember, he had told them that if you don't serve me and you serve other gods, you're going to be dispersed around the world. But here he tells them, you put those things away, you'll not be removed. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskin of your heart, you men of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Now, how many of you in here, you grow a garden? I love growing a garden. I know some of you, Brother Ed's got one. I know Krista does. I didn't know that Jeff did, and I've kind of figured you did. So a garden is fun. I love growing a garden. It's been a long time since I've been able to grow a garden because I live with my son now. So in his yard where he's at, it's that old stinking clay dirt that can't grow nothing. Y'all just bear with me. It's going to get crazy for a few minutes, but hang on. I'm always going somewhere, but sometimes I don't know how to get there. But anyway, we're going to find out if we're going somewhere. All right, here we go. Oh, boy. This is going to be something else. Y'all bear with me. I got a wheelbarrow here. Brother Larry can't see it. Nobody else on the radio can see it, but I got a wheelbarrow here full of some organic dirt and a shovel. Now, when my grandmother, when she was alive, she died when she was 70. She was born in 1900. She died in 1976. But up to the last year of her life, and some of you heard me tell, that she had a shovel that had a long handle, like wood handle like this. And y'all seen it here, because I brought it and showed it, but I couldn't find it. That shovel was half the size of this. In her backyard was a garden. That garden was 3/4 of the size of this building, right, this auditorium. That big garden, she dug that garden up to the last year that she was alive before she got sick with that small shovel. She would turn that dirt over, and that's how she dug her garden. That's how she dug, made the rows. She planted tomatoes. She planted okra. She planted butter beans. She planted eggplant and had a strawberry patch and a fig tree. And she'd used that shovel. And remember, when God created this earth, he placed Adam and Eve where? In a garden. And they were to take care of that garden. But he had to take care of it, so he was the first gardener that was alive, you know, on earth. And I don't know what kind of tools he had to work with. Have no idea. But when they sinned, something happened. That garden began to grow weeds and stickers and grass they didn't want to have there. So what? It became more of a chore to work that garden. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Weeds and stickers and grass growing in your garden. Yeah, you're right. Well, then along come tools like this, so it made it a little bit easier. But then something else happened. Oh, boy. This is going to get real crazy now. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Then came along power tools. Big power tools. And I got to know it's bigger than this. But this, let's just get after it. Let's see. Well, wait a minute. It ain't going to start that way. Be right back. Oh, here it is right here. Electric start. But I'm not going to do that because I'll tell you why. When I got this thing out yesterday and cranked it up, it smoked. And if I did that, there'd be a lot of smoke in here. And Building and Grounds would not be very happy with me, would they? But this is what you call a cultivator, not a tiller. I've got a tiller, and I till up the grass, and I till up the garden so I could grow my tomato plants in there. And every time I've tilled up a new place for the very first time, that ground was hard. And you have to till that stuff up, but you got to till that up and get it soft and pliable so whatever you plant will grow in it. And then you got to put fertilizer in it. I've been lucky that everywhere I lived, I always had these big oak trees. And if you got oak trees, you got leaves. And I always like to take oak leaves and put in my garden and till them into that dirt. And then once I got my plants planted, I come back with more oak leaves and spread them out all over where the dirt was, all around the plants. You know why? They help keep the weeds out. Then after a few weeks of watering and tending that garden, I'd come back with my cultivator, and those leaves would get real soft, and I would cultivate them up into the dirt again. And then I'd put more leaves out. And then I use this other stuff. It's a wonder. It's a wonder fertilizer called Miracle-Gro. It does awesome on tomatoes. And how many Germans we got in here? Yeah. I got a hold of these tomatoes. That was a German something, I can't remember now, but they would grow up to 5 pounds, or at least that's what it said. I never got one to 5 pounds, but I got one to a pound and a half. It was about that big around right there, I'm telling you, and it was good. And now y'all going to think I'm crazy again because I'm going to bring up something. Did you know there's you grow marijuana just like you would tomatoes. And some of you are saying, oh, no. Last week he was talking about spending the night in jail. Now he's talking about dope. If you was here Sunday night, you know it had nothing to do with dope. But listen. No, I learned this when I was a police officer in Kansas. Now, up in Kansas, they used to grow fields of marijuana. Back during the war. World War I, World War II, back and then, they grew marijuana by fields of it. Have you ever heard of hemp rope? That's where it came from. They grew fields of it, and they used it to make rope that they used on the battleships during the wars. And that's what I've heard of them guys in the Navy. They would get that rope, tear off pieces of it, and they'd smoke it. It came from a marijuana plant. But the problem with that marijuana, there were still fields up there. When I lived up there and worked up there as a police officer, there were still some fields of marijuana. And the deputy sheriffs and the game warden, they would watch it for anybody going in there to start tilling that ground and fertilizing those fields to grow that marijuana. Because unless you fertilize it and take care of it, it would give you a headache to smoke it. They called it ditchweed. You still, even today, you go to Kansas, in northeast Kansas up there, you go along the railroad, walk around the railroad tracks, and you'll see it growing wild in there, all through there. But it would give you a headache. But when you fertilize it and take care of it and water it and till that ground around it, it becomes good. I just told you how to grow good marijuana. Don't grow marijuana. It gets you in trouble. But tomatoes, the best tomatoes, if you just plant tomatoes and let them grow, the flavor is not going to really be really that good. But when you cultivate that ground and you water them and you fertilize it and you take care of that tomato and you keep those weeds out, that allows all those nutrients that's in the ground to grow up those stalk to those tomatoes, and you can have some awesome tasting tomatoes. And I love to take a fresh tomato, cut it about that thick, and put it on two pieces of bread with some mayonnaise and some pepper, and make a mater sandwich. That is some good, good eating. Now, I got to get this stuff put up. Y'all think I'm crazy. I know it. By the way, if anybody needs a bag of organic dirt, let me know. I'll fix you up after the service. Well, we're going to make it just fine. There it is right there. We're done. Okay. Now, we'll get back to the sermon. He said, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. He said over in Hosea, break up your fallow ground and seek the Lord. Do you know what fallow ground is? Fallow, F-A-L-L-O-W, not follow, but fallow. Fallow ground is really two different things. One of them is ground that has been laid idle, or ground that has been tilled before and left idle to allow the grass to grow back, and then breaking it up is to come back in and till it. Used to be that there was a thing called crop rotation. How many of you know what crop rotation is? Okay. And I don't know if they still do that or not. I know they used to do it all the time. What they would do, they'd plant a big garden, a pasture or whatever. They'd plant it and grow what they wanted to there. Then the next season, they would let that grow over and they'd go plant somewhere else. What that did was allow the bugs, the roots, the grass, and weeds to come back in and grow on that land, and it would put nutrients back in the ground. Then you come back in and till it up, and those nutrients will stay right there. Every time I tilled up a garden for the first time, I left that grass that was growing right there on it and tilled it up into the ground. Now, I may come back and till three or four times and get that all stuff tilled up in there to get that grass, because that was putting nutrients in the ground. Then when I had a place, I cut the grass, and I made sure that I left those leaves on the ground that fell. And when I mowed my yard, I mowed those leaves and the grass up together. Then I would either put them in my garden or put it in a mulch pile that I had set it aside to compost up that I would later come back and put in that garden. So what they were doing with this fallow ground, they'd let it sit there to get the nutrients back in it. And then they would come in and till it, and it would have the nutrients back. Now, but nowadays, there's so much fertilizer out there and different types of fertilizer. A lot of people don't do the crop rotation anymore. They just use the fertilizer to get the nutrients and stuff back in the ground to grow. But it can also destroy the land that way if you don't let it sit and get the nutrients back in it. But here God is telling, twice he told Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and seek the Lord. Break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. Now there's a spiritual meaning to all what's being said here. And a lot of times, and even in our Christian life, what happens is we get so busy and so caught up in life itself that we lose sight of what God's called us to do. And sometimes we need to stop and take an evaluation or take and examine our life to see where we're at and see what we're doing at that time and see if that's what God wants us to be doing. Or sometimes we need to make changes to get back where he wants us to be on the path that he's designed for us to be on. And sometimes we have to stop and take and evaluate our life to see just exactly where we're at. Because it is so easy to get caught up in the world, taking care of a family, working a job, that we lose sight. But God, he says, break up your fallow ground. We allow our lives sometimes to allow the roots of the world to come over us. We allow the thorns to get in the pasture that he's got for us. When we evaluate, we see what the problem is, then we can come in and clear out those thorns and clear out those weeds and clear out everything that's there that he doesn't want in our life. And we can get back to tilling that land, put the nutrients back in there, and get it to where our lives can grow some fruit. Listen, every person in here that knows Jesus Christ as Savior is going to come to that place in your life. I come to that place. Every one of us will. Because we're still living a fleshly body, and that's just going to happen. But God gave us two things. Well, when we lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, we went to Temple Baptist Church. Our pastor's name was Clarence Sexton. He used to say this, that we need to be a five-star Christian. There's five things that we need to have in our life that we can be a five-star Christian. One of those is reading God's word. Number two is praying. Number three is being faithful to be in church. Number four was being a witness to those around us. Number five was tithing. Now I'm going to let Brother Larry take care of number five, and I'm going to concentrate just on the first two. We need to get fertilizer in our life. We do that two ways. By praying and reading God's word. We need to be fed. Sometimes we just need to feed ourselves. I like feeding myself. Some of you are laughing because you know where I'm going. I got fresh tomatoes. I eat a bunch of tomatoes, mater sandwiches. I'll eat a bunch of them. Sometimes I even like to take potato chips, put potato chips on top of it, and eat it. I like okra. I like boiled okra. I heard them yucks out there. Huh? Yeah, together. But my grandma, she made the best boiled okra. She had them, they called them Corningware pots. You know what I'm talking about? Little white glass things. She would put that okra in there and cook it on top of the stove and boil it down, the water down. Then she'd have a little oil in there, and she'd put it in the oven and finish baking it in the oven. Son, It'd make that you'd eat that okra like that, and it'd make your tonsils slap, even when your tonsils are gone. I love that stuff. I grew okra. Brother Robert, I had okra 8 foot tall. My dad told me a little secret about growing okra, because I'd grown it for several years, and it only get, you know, that tall. And I'd get a little bit of okra off of it. Well, he told me, well, what you do, son, is when you cut that pod of okra off, cut that leaf off, because that pod of okra goes up between the stalk and the leaf. It's where it comes up at. You cut that leaf off when you cut that pod of okra off, and that allows all those nutrients to keep going up that stalk to the next one. So I started doing that. It got taller. I kept on going. It got taller and taller. It got 8 foot tall. I was having to grab it halfway up and pull it over to cut the pods off and let it go and have to step back out of the way so it didn't hit me in the face when it swung back up. It grew 8 foot tall. The stalk got that big around. But it did something. At the bottom and by the ground, another stalk started coming up. So, well, I'm going to try something and forget. I'm tired of pulling that down and cutting that off. So I got my cutters and I cut that big old stalk off at the ground. And you know what? That other one that sprung up, it come up. Then it got blooms on it. I said, hey, it's going to work. And it started growing okra and it started popping off. And I started cutting the leaves and the okra off at the same time. Guess what? It got back to 8 foot tall again. And I said, I'm tired of doing this. I just cut the whole thing down. I had so much okra then, I didn't know what to do with. But I love okra. I love purple hull peas. Bradley and Miss Susan back there, last week their thumbs and stuff was brown and black from messing with pecans. You know what you get when you shucking purple hull peas? You get purple all over your thumbs and fingers from shucking them peas. But you know what? I hated shucking peas when I was a kid. But I sure loved eating them peas. You know what? I got to where I didn't mind shucking them peas. You know what else I hated doing when I was a kid? Grandma would buy corn, bushels of corn on the cob. We would have to shuck that corn, and then I'd have to get a knife and cut it off the cob and then scrape the cob. Have you ever done that? Cut the cob, scrape the cob. And then they called it cream corn. But I tell you what, there was nothing like it at the table. I loved to eat. I had Brother Robert's ribs for the first time the other day. You don't know what you're missing if you ain't had them. They're good. And I'm you having ribs Wednesday night, I might have to sneak over here somehow. I love to eat. But listen, sometimes we need to evaluate our life and see what God has. We already know where God has us, what he wants us to do. When you're up in an adult age, you know. But sometimes we need to stop and take and evaluate where we're at. See what God has for us. Let me show you something. One other thing. In our text reading, Hosea, he gave him a warning. Verse 4, they have spoken words, swearing falsely in making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. You know what the furrow of the field is? That's the little trench right there that you make, and when you water, it fills up with water and to give moisture to your plants. But he said hemlock is going to spring up in the furrows. I didn't know what hemlock was till I looked it up. Hemlock is a poisonous plant that grows. It's very deadly. I read that Socrates, I didn't know this, Socrates was convicted of treason and sentenced to death by the judge, sentenced to death by hemlock. They took that hemlock and they made a poison out of it, and he was made to drink the poison. It says he walked around in his cell till his legs became weak. He died. It's very poisonous. Well, if it grows in the furrow of the garden and you water the garden, guess what happens? That hemlock gets poison in it. And then the poison, the hemlock, gets in the water. Then whatever you have planted sucks up that moisture into the plant and poisons the plant and makes the garden unedible. We don't want any hemlock growing in our garden. So that's why we have to keep watering our garden. That's why we have to keep fertilizing our garden with the right things. And we do that by prayer and reading God's word. Folks, I can't emphasize enough how important it is that we pray and we listen to what God has to say from his word. We need to hear from God. And by the way, listen, God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. We need to pray. We've often heard, and I'll say, we often heard that there's power in prayer. Brother Larry brought this out several years, some time ago, that, people say there's power in prayer. He said, this is true once he finished it. No, there's not. There is no power in prayer. The power is in God. Prayer connects us to God where the power is. That's what it is. We need to get connected to God, and we do that by prayer. So, folks, keep your garden clean. Keep the weeds out. Keep it nourished. Even more so today than ever before. We don't know what's ahead of us. We don't know what's about to happen. Our freedoms are at stake. And folks, we need to be ready in case things go south on us. Because it very well could. So that's why, but listen, if things go south, we still have God on our side. We still have God that we can talk to at any time. We still have his word. And we can still live by faith no matter what happens. They're doing it already on the other side of the world. We can do it here too. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these folks. I pray you will bless them. Dear God, may we all take care of the garden that you've placed us in. Use the garden. Help us to fertilize it, water it, make it fruitful for your glory, for your honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.